Good morning and welcome. This morning we have a bit of a liturgical anomaly that we have black on a Sunday. We're wearing black vestments because this is the Feast of All Souls Day. And it's the only feast throughout the year that can trump a Sunday where you would wear black on a Sunday. And so, and this only happens whenever November 2nd happens to fall on Sunday. So the last time this happened was in 2014, and I wasn't even ordained a priest yet. I wasn't ordained until the next year. So this is kind of a rare occurrence. The next time it's going to happen again isn't going to be until 2030, so another 5 years. So it's a rare occurrence where you have essentially what this is a funeral mass. This is a requiem mass. That trumps a Sunday, and we Catholics don't celebrate funerals on Sunday because that's the Lord's Day. That's the Feast of the Resurrection. So this is the one the exception that you have throughout the year where you can have a funeral mass on a Sunday. And so with that, I think this is the perfect example, just one more kind of iteration of the principle that you've probably heard me talk about before, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. Lex meaning law or rule, lex orandi, orar meaning prayer, oremus to pray, let us pray. So the rule of prayer, the rule or the law of prayer is the rule, lex credendi is credence, creed, what we believe. The rule of what we believe is the rule or the law, or excuse me, the rule of how we pray is the rule or the law of what we believe. And the rule or the law of what we believe, lex vivendi, is the rule or the law of how we live. Vivir, to live. So the law that governs our prayer is a law that governs our belief. We believe how we pray. Our theology, what that's basically saying is our theology shows up and is manifest in our prayer. And our prayer should be infused and informed by what we teach and what we believe. And then that sends us off in how we live our lives. If you ever study any kind of liturgical law, that's the basis, the foundational principle that governs Catholic theology of how determines what we pray. And for what it's worth, our Protestant brothers and sisters have that too. But you can see how our Catholic belief and the belief of the Eucharist, that's the source, the summit, the highest point. That's the zenith of the Mass. The rest of the Mass builds up to the Eucharist because we believe that's the highest point. And so our liturgy reflects that. So these feast days that we celebrate yesterday and today, yesterday was the Feast of All Saints. Today is the Feast of All Souls. Both of those are the church handing us our theology, what we believe. And so there's two different principles kind of at work here. The principle of ecclesiology, meaning how we understand the church, the nature of the church, what makes up the church. Through our Catholic lens, what makes up the church? So ecclesiology is one thing, and then eschatology, in other words, the four final things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, those four kind of principles of what is to come at the end of time. These two feast days, there's so much theology packed into both of them. Why we celebrate all the saints yesterday, and why we celebrate all the souls in purgatory today. Those two things are always going to be linked together, because of the way we understand the church. So for us, purgatory on the Feast of All Souls, purgatory is a huge part of this. And obviously a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters don't agree with us on that understanding of purgatory, but some of them do. And among some of the kind of notable characters among Protestants is C.S. Lewis. Now he never explicitly affirmed purgatory as such, but I think he kind of understood the theology or the understanding behind it in his book, The Great Divorce, The Separation of Heaven and Hell. He talked a lot about the idea that the gates of hell are locked from the inside. In other words, the people who are in hell choose to be there. They want to be there. They do not want to serve. They do not want to follow God. No thanks. I'm good enough. I want to do things my way. And so if that means I go down this road, then so be it. No, that's kind of the idea. But those who are in purgatory, it's this idea of a purging, of purifying, of purification. You know, you think of if in heaven everything is pristine, if it's the perfect wedding feast. Imagine being invited to the biggest wedding you could conceive of some president or emperor or head of state or something, some massive white tie event. Everything is pristine. It's the highest, most noble everything. And you show up and you're just in gym shorts and a t-shirt and everyone else is white tie. And you've got spaghetti spilled all over the place. Like, you're not going to want to go into the wedding. You will recognize, I'm not ready. And so this idea of purging, of purgatory, in my mind, it's the Lord in his mercy gently prying our fingers off of the things that we will not let go of. And so that's kind of the idea of when we pray for the souls in purgatory, we pray for their own conversion, for their purification, so that they are prepared to enter into the perfection of heaven. Now, the church talks about, you know, the church triumphant. Those are the souls in purgatory. Those are those who have run the good race, who have fought the fight, who are enjoying the beatific vision. All of our canonized saints, and really everybody in heaven who's made it to that point, they're all saints. That is the church triumphant. And that's what we celebrated yesterday. All saints is everyone in heaven. Today is the church suffering. Those in purgatory. And I guess, again, it's this idea of purification, of the process of those who have died, and they're not in the state of mortal sin. They haven't eternally rejected God, but they're clinging to stuff that we have to choose. We have to willingly let go of. And in my mind, I think the process of purgatory is almost like the Lord showing us the way things unfold from his vision, from his point of view. Because we carry our wounds, we carry our bad memories, the things that happen to us. And there are things in my memory, in my mind, things that have happened to me, certain circumstances and situations that I don't want to bring into heaven. And so those have to be brought to the Lord and washed in his blood and made clean in his blood. So for us Catholics, in terms of praying for the souls of those who have died, it's been an ancient practice, going all the way back to the earliest documents that we have, the earliest Christians. I mean, the first martyrs would gather around and pray in the tombs, in the catacombs, because they didn't have churches yet. It was before the Edict of Milan, before Christianity was safe in public. They had to gather and pray in catacombs. And they prayed for and remembered the souls of the dead. And so the church offers us a special window today, from today until next Sunday. So the first, November is a month where we pray for and remember the dead in general, but the first week, the first octave of the dead, there's a plenary indulgence offered to every Catholic who either attends Mass or goes to Mass or to a church or an oratory and prays for the dead. And today, this Sunday Mass, just by attending Sunday Mass today, you have the option, or the ability to receive that plenary indulgence. And so, I mean, there's a couple other conditions that we have to go to confession within 20 days of receiving that plenary indulgence. And you have to pray for the Pope, for his health, for his intentions, and praying for and lifting up our Holy Father. But you can receive a plenary indulgence every day this week in particular, by just going to a cemetery to pray on behalf of the dead, to visit those graves, to lift them up. My family, you know, we're very Catholic. You know, we got 10 kids. We're very Catholic. There's a practice that my mom instilled in us when I was a kid, that anytime we pray, we pass a cemetery. And I don't know if all of you guys do this or if it's just our family, but anytime we pass a cemetery, we make the sign of the cross, and we pray the eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. It's a very simple thing, but I don't even know how old I was, because we just always have done that since I was very, very little. It's a very small thing, but it's a practical reminder day in and day out to pray for the dead. That's the lex vivendi that our theology informs our belief. Today we remember, like I said, and we lift them up. We offer our prayers on their behalf. Not only do we rejoice in those who have gone before us and the saints who are joining the beatific vision and pray on our behalf, but we also lift up those who we love. And so every priest has a special intention. He can offer one intention, a private intention at Mass, and you'll see those for me. They're listed in the bulletin. You can see who is my particular intention that I'm praying for in that Mass. But what I didn't know until I went to seminary is that literally every person who attends Mass has an intention that they can offer that Mass for. And so it's the priest, yes, has a particular intention, but when you attend Mass, you have one as well. And so that's something that, again, I was in seminary before I really heard that or learned that. But I would just invite you today at this Mass, and maybe particularly through the month of November, that every time you attend Mass, to, in your mind, place on that paten, when I hold up the bread, place on the paten the soul of your family or friend or loved one who has passed away, to lift them up. There's a story I heard from St. John Vianney. He talked about a priest who was offering his Mass, and during the elevation, as he was holding up the host, He spoke to the Father, and he said, "Father, I am holding the body of your beloved Son. And in exchange for the body of your Son, I ask that you release the soul of this person I'm praying for." And St. John Vianney said that in that moment, during the elevation, the priest was granted a vision of that soul being released in that moment, at that moment of his prayer, the releasing into heaven of that soul. Now, you don't have to believe that. It's private revelation. But I think that really does kind of summarize the prayer that we offer, the sacrifice of the Mass, and that not just the priest, but each of us can pray for our beloved dead. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen.